Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
You know, we find it very easy to, pat ourselves on the back for our lack of legalism. Oh, no, we're not legalistic. Listen, legalism is a thing that runs very deep in the heart and the soul of a man or a woman. There are many people who cannot simply receive the fact that they have peace with God through the work of Jesus Christ because they demand to earn it on their own instead of looking to who Jesus is.
Jesus never broke the law, but he certainly confronted the Pharisees on their addition to the law. Jesus was performing incredible healings, but the Pharisees were hung up on the fact that he was doing it on the Sabbath. Jesus brings up the principle that human need is more important than religious rituals. Pastor David will teach that keeping human regulations over someone's need is legalism. We will meditate on how we see legalism playing out today, sometimes in our very own hearts. Now, here's Pastor David with part one of his message, Witness of the Lord on the Sabbath.
Now, in Luke chapter 6, we're following what we call the Galilean ministry of Jesus. It's that teaching that he did all up and around the region of Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee. It was an area thick with cities and villages, and there Jesus is doing his work in and through the region of Galilee. Now, as a part of that work, we find that he runs into controversy with the religious leaders. And the first couple scenes that we're going to cover tonight in Luke chapter 6 have to do with controversy regarding the Sabbath that Jesus runs into with religious leaders. So let's jump right into it, verses 1 and 2. Now, it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields. And his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" Do you have the picture? There's Jesus and his disciples. Now, by the way, I just want to point out to you, up to this point, he has not chosen the 12. That's going to happen a little bit later here in Luke chapter 6. So this isn't necessarily just the 12. It's just a group of people following as his disciples. The broader group of Jesus' disciples numbered more than just the 12. In any regard, there's this group of his disciples following after him. And as they're walking through some farmers' fields. And there they are, the stalks of grain are on either side. And what do? Well, they're hungry. So they grab some of those heads of grain. They take off the head. They twist it underneath their hands like that. And they blow away the chaff. And they pop it in their mouth for a little bit of wheat germ right there on the go. Very organic, very green. The disciples were into that. Now, nobody should think for a moment that this was theft. This was completely permitted under the Mosaic law. This idea of going through and as a traveler passing through, they were permitted to take a handful here and a handful there. It was no big deal. It was part of God's mercy and grace and sort of the law of compassion that is given to us in the law of Moses. But the issue wasn't theft. Notice what they say here in verse 2. Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? You see, the problem wasn't with what they were doing. The problem was the day on which they did it. They did this on the Sabbath. In other words, the grabbing of the head of grain, the twisting it in your, rolling it in your hands, the blowing away the chaff, the religious leaders considered that to be work and a violation of the Sabbath. Now, you may know something of this, of the Jewish law, because it continues among observant Jews to this day, that the Sabbath, that is by the Jewish reckoning, from sundown Friday night till sundown Saturday night, that approximate 24-hour period is a period where they say no work can be done. And this was given by God in the Old Testament. Now, we understand the Sabbath because of the new covenant in light of the fulfilled work of Jesus Christ. And so, ladies and gentlemen, for us, every day is a day of rest in Jesus. It's not that we have no Sabbath. It's that every day is a Sabbath. Even though we violate the principle of the Sabbath, in other words, a regular day of rest, one day in seven at least, to our own peril. But that's another subject entirely. Here I want to get to the controversy with the Pharisees. What was the controversy? It was simply this. Your disciples are working on the Sabbath. And you say, well, what kind of work is that? They're not. How much work is that just to, you know, grab a snack along the way? Well, this is what you have to understand. The Jewish rabbis, in their zeal to observe the Sabbath, constructed an elaborate list of do's and don'ts all around the Mosaic Law. So it wasn't enough just to say, okay, now don't do any work on the Sabbath. It was to build this whole structure to say, this is exactly what work is, and this is what work isn't, and to define it that carefully. When the disciples did what they did, in the eyes of the religious leaders of that day, they were guilty of at least four violations of the Sabbath. Number one, they were guilty of reaping, they were guilty of threshing, they were guilty of winnowing, and they were guilty of preparing food. That was four violations of the Sabbath in one mouthful. And so they were outraged at this, the religious leaders. Now, this same zeal for the Sabbath can continue to the modern day. I remember reading a story. It's from a long time ago. It's from more than 20 years ago. But similar things happen all the time about a story of something that happened in Jerusalem. There was a fire from some apartments in an Orthodox neighborhood in Jerusalem, and three apartment buildings burnt to the ground. Why did three apartment buildings burn to the ground? Well, because there was a fire just in one apartment building. And what did the people do? Well, they didn't rush out and call the fire department. They got their rabbi and they asked the rabbi, is it lawful for us to call the fire department on the Sabbath? Because in the Orthodox Jewish mentality, when you break a switch or connect a circuit on the Sabbath, you're doing work. Okay, that's why you don't switch on lights on you don't push buttons on an elevator on the Sabbath. And so they had to get the determination from that. Is it lawful for us to call the fire department on the Sabbath? And in the time it took the rabbi to figure that out, this fire spread to two other apartment buildings. Now again, this is just the kind of thing that happens. And in that day, in Jesus' day, many rabbis filled Judaism with elaborate rituals relevant to the Sabbath and the observance of other laws. For example, on the Sabbath, this is what they taught. They taught that you could not tie a knot except in a woman's girdle. Therefore, if you had to lower a bucket of water into the well, you could not tie a rope to the bucket. But you could tie a girdle to the bucket, and then the girdle to a rope, and then lower it down. Do you see what this all extremely fine parsing out of the laws does? It makes for elaborate ways to break the law. And that's exactly what, in the eyes of the religious leaders, the disciples of Jesus were doing at this point. So here you are, disciples of Jesus. You guys are breaking the Sabbath. What is Jesus going to say on your behalf? Look at it right here, verse 3. But Jesus, answering them, said, have you not even read this? Well, could you just stop right there? This is great. Do you understand who he's speaking to? He's speaking to the Pharisees. Sometimes I think we should spend a whole night just talking about the Pharisees. Because you and I, you know, like those old melodrama, you know, plays. And everybody knows when the bad guy comes out, you know, he's got the top hat and the snidely whiplash little, you know, mustache. And everybody hisses, you know. Well, that's what we do when the Pharisees come out, right? Boo, hiss, ooh, you're the bad guy. Let me tell you, the Pharisees, we would have a much more ambivalent love-hate relationship with them. Because you want to know something about the Pharisees? They were the back to the Bible movement. They were the ones who took the word of God seriously. Now, they were also filled with legalism. They were also filled with weird, you know, workarounds to the spirit of the word of God. But at their core, especially in their origin, they were the ones that said, no, we're not going to go along with the course of this sinful world. No, we're not going to believe what all those liberal theologians believe. We're going to believe the Bible, and we're going to believe it literally. So this is sort of a challenge to us. Because, you know, we're closer to the Pharisees than we want to think. Sometimes in good ways, but sometimes in bad ways too. Okay, but back to the first line of verse 3. But answering them, he said, Jesus answering them said, have you not even read this? So this is what he's saying to the leaders of the back to the Bible movement. It's something like this. Hey, do you guys even read your Bibles? Could you imagine how angry they would have got just as that? It's like Jesus saying, hello, do you guys open up the book ever? Haven't you read this? These were men who had memorized substantial portions of the Old Testament and considered themselves experts, not only on what the scriptures said, but on what Rabbi so-and-so and Rabbi so-and-so and all these different commentators through the centuries had said about the Word of God. They considered themselves Bible experts, and Jesus just sort of treats them very coldly. I wonder if he said it with a smile on his face. Hey, do you guys even read this book? Let me explain it to you. And as their blood pressure rose, look what Jesus said to them. Jesus said, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God and took and ate the showbread and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now Jesus, in this brilliant way, he's going to argue that the Pharisees were wrong on 2 points. Here's his 2 points. Mr. Pharisee, do you even read your Bible? Well, if you did, you would know you're wrong on 2 points. Let me explain it to you this way. Number one, don't you understand the principle given to us by what David did when he visited the tabernacle, when he was on the run from King Saul, and he didn't have anything to eat for him and his men, and he asked the priests if they could have some of the showbread. Now, the showbread was the sacred bread that was dedicated to God, first at the tabernacle, later on at the temple. It was set upon a golden table, and it was changed out every day. It was a representation of Israel's fellowship with God. There were 12 loaves or cakes of that bread set upon that golden table, one for each one of the 12 tribes of Israel, so that everybody would know that the people of Israel were to be in this continual fellowship with God, eating bread with God, sharing a meal with him. And since they changed out the bread every day, David said, here's a supply of bread. My guys need bread. Give it to us, please, priests. And the priests, after making sure that David and his men had observed some kind of ceremonial purity, he said, fine, David, take it. Now, there's some indication from the original text there in 1 Samuel 21 that this happened on the Sabbath. And this is what David communicates to us through that story in 1 Samuel 21, is here's the principle. Human need outweighs ritual observance. Human need outweighs ritual observance. And so, it's entirely valid for my disciples to go and eat some of this grain, because even though it might break some of your interpretation of the Sabbath, these guys are hungry and they need some food. And by the way, maybe I should point out, if it's not clear to you already, the disciples did not break the Sabbath. I believe that if the disciples did break the Sabbath, Jesus would have been front in the line saying, guys, don't break the Sabbath. Because Jesus observed the Sabbath as a good Jew who fulfilled the law of God perfectly in every way. No, the disciples did not break the Sabbath. They broke the human interpretation and the human scaffolding surrounding the law of God. They broke the laws and the commandments of men, not the laws and commandments of God. But that was the first principle. Number one, human need is more important than religious ritual. Which, by the way, without going into a big... isn't that so important for us to remember? I hope there's nobody here this evening who passed by a human need right there in front of your eyes that you could meet because you were so busy to get to church. Isn't that exactly what happened in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan? There, the priest was on his way to Jerusalem. And what he said, well, I can't stop and help this guy. I'm a priest. I got to go do my work at the temple. The Levite came and passed right by. I'm a Levite. I got work to do at the temple. I can help this guy. It was a violation of this essential principle. Religious ritual does not outweigh human need. And that's what they needed to hear. But then there's another principle. And if you thought they got mad before when Jesus said, hey, do you guys even read your Bibles? Did you see what Jesus said to them right there at verse 5? He says, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. This second principle was even more dramatic. Jesus said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. And therefore, well, ladies and gentlemen, That is an outright claim to deity. You know what? I'm the God over the Sabbath. Therefore, I pretty much know when it's being broken and when it's not being broken. Don't worry about it. Can you imagine that? I can imagine the Pharisees just having a case of the vapors when Jesus said, oh, heavens, did he just say that? I can't believe that he said that. Listen, Jesus said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. And if my disciples' actions didn't offend me, then you religious leaders should not have been offended. Ladies and gentlemen, this was a clear claim to deity. Jesus said that he had the authority to know whether or not the disciples broke the Sabbath because he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Only God is Lord of the Sabbath. So this was a remarkable claim. All right, now scene two, shifting to verse 6 now. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And okay, let's just stop right there with that. Now, Luke shows us the rising resistance to Jesus and his followers. They're becoming less and less popular with the religious leaders. Nevertheless, Jesus still attended synagogue service and did not forsake the gathering together of God's people, even when he had reason to. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Well, I won't go and meet among God's people. No, it's too awkward. It's too difficult. Listen, they were very angry at Jesus. Can you imagine all the eyebrows that got raised when he walked into the synagogue? But he still went. And what was waiting for him there? Look back now. Now, it happened on another Sabbath also that when he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Can't you just feel the tension in the synagogue? Jesus walks in, and there's all the religious leaders. And Jesus, as he did always, Jesus had perfect peace. Do you think Jesus started getting all uptight when he walked into the synagogue? No. Oh, but these religious leaders, they're about ready to have a conniption when Jesus walks in. But you see, they've set it up, and they may have even set this up deliberately. They may have arranged it deliberately that this man with the withered hand would be there on the Sabbath day because they knew something. They knew that if Jesus walked in and saw human need in the synagogue, whether it was on the Sabbath or not, that the compassion of Jesus would be there ready to reach out to that man and make a difference in his life. They just knew that Jesus had this habit. And I wouldn't doubt it for a moment. If the religious leaders didn't set this up, if they didn't arrange it in an effort to sort of trap Jesus. I want you to notice one other thing. It says there in verse 7, that the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath. The religious leaders watched Jesus closely, but with no heart of love for him. You know, we can watch Jesus, but still be far from loving him in our hearts. So what happens here? The stress is building. There's the man with the withered hand. Now this poor man, he's sort of caught like a pawn in the midst of it. I, in my mind's eye, I see the religious leaders, you know, kind of shoving the guy in the back towards Jesus. Come on, what's Jesus going to do about this? Come on. Sort of like they're tempting Jesus or putting some bait in a trap for him. What happens? Verse 9. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy? And when he looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. Isn't that beautiful? First, Jesus thinks this. He goes, okay, the first thing, I got to speak to these religious leaders. These guys who are pushing the man with the withered hand right out front and are using him as a pawn in their little game. I need to rebuke them, and I'll rebuke them with a simple question. Here it is. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? That's in verse 9. You see, in this question to the religious leaders, Jesus emphasized the truth about the Sabbath. There is never a wrong day to do something truly good. How simple is that? Oh, no. This man had his life forever changed for the good. profoundly healed, a debilitation that had been in his life for some time. And by the way, Dr. Luke notes for us that it was in his right hand, his hand of skill and work. It probably kept him from doing work and producing a living, or at least an efficient living. And this man had all these problems related to his withered hand. And in one instant, Jesus could heal it. And they're all hung up on, well, you're doing it on the Sabbath. You see, in the legalistic approach taken by the religious leaders of Jesus' day, which, by the way, went far beyond the commands of the Bible itself, they clearly neglected acts of compassion and love for the needy. It would be something like this. If you said, and I'm just making an illustration, I don't even know if this would apply to the Jewish scheme of things, so I'm just kind of take it out of that, just use this as an illustration. But if somebody would say, hey, let's go and let's do a great big program today where we feed the poor and minister to the needs and bless them and hand out a lot of things and do good things for them. And somebody said, no, you can't do that on that day because it's the Sabbath. Well, as I said, it's just foolish. There's never a wrong day to do something so good. Now, this is very interesting to me because Jesus was emphasizing the need to show love and compassion and not just be obsessed with the rule book, so to speak. But here's the point in our day that I find so challenging to us. We have the challenge of displaying God's love and compassion and faithfully upholding God's clearly stated moral standard on matters of social controversy. There's matters of social controversy today having to do with the unborn, having to do with sexual orientation and practice, where people should just say, look, the most overwhelming thing that you should just be is nice. That's the only thing that's interesting. And you know what? We should be filled with compassion. We should be filled with love. And we need the wisdom from God to say, here is the biblical standard that we cannot vary from. Now, Lord, show us how to show that and how to display that in a way that respects the love and the compassion of your heart. Not to compromise on those principles. No, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says what it says. But I want you to notice this about the Sabbath particularly. Jesus wasn't trying to reform the Sabbath. He tried to show that in their understanding of the Sabbath, they missed the whole point. You see, a legalist wants to debate the rules, but the point wasn't which rules were the correct rules. The point was, what is the basic way to approach God? And ladies and gentlemen, when we emphasize the idea that the basic way to approach God is based on what we do for Him, then we're legalists. If we emphasize and if we think in our own mind that the basic way we approach God is based on what Jesus Christ did for us, then we have biblical Christianity. You know, we find it very easy to, pat ourselves on the back for our lack of legalism. Oh, no, we're not legalistic. Listen, legalism is a thing that runs very deep in the heart and the soul of a man or a woman. There are many people who cannot simply receive the fact that they have peace with God through the work of Jesus Christ because they demand to earn it on their own instead of looking to who Jesus is and what they have done, and then letting the good works and the obedience and the walk of holiness flow out of that. It's a very important principle.
Thanks so much for joining us today for this edition of Enduring Word Radio. Over the years in Christian media, we've seen all sorts of misrepresentations about supporting ministries. Everything from give your last dollar to if you don't give, God's work won't be done. These sorts of manipulations are not biblical, and they do not represent God's heart for giving. Here at Enduring Word Radio, we want to run fast and far from these sorts of misrepresentations. That said, it's also important for us to be faithful to share with you the ongoing financial needs that we do have. Enduring Word Radio is heard all over the United States. The program that you listen to today was professionally produced, and purchasing time on some radio stations comes with a cost. So we want to be sure to at least inform you and ask that you seek the Lord about supporting Enduring Word Radio. There's a secure option to give right on the homepage of enduringword.com. You can give a one-time gift or partner with us on a monthly basis. Again, that secure option to support Enduring Word Radio is available at enduringword.com. In closing, our thoughts on ministry is where God guides, God provides. God is faithful, and He will continue to provide for Enduring Word Radio. Again, thanks so much for joining us today for Enduring Word Radio with Pastor David Buzik. It's our hope and prayer that today's message has been a blessing to you. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you.